sex matters, period.
What?
Really?
What?
I'm Judy.
I'm Patricia.
And this is the Sex Matters Podcast. We are going to pull topics out of our hats, grab items from the news, and take questions submitted by you, the listener. So we invite you to join us. Why? Because sex matters, period.
Last time we talked about vaginas and all that are encompassed in that lovely area.
The luscious labia liquids.
Yes. Now, let's talk about penises and all the things that are encompassed with that. And
yeah.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the taste is really what we're going to taste and smell.
Okay.
When a partner puts their head between your legs.
Yes.
That's really, and this is for men. We've already done one about the ladies. So this one is for our fellows, our gentlemen, or our ladies
penis havers.
Listening, penis havers, penis worshipers, whatever.
Mm.
So let's see. I have mentioned before that I really enjoy cock worship. I love to give blowjobs.
So
I'm super oral.
Paint a picture of what cock worship is versus just giving a blowjob.
Oh, this is so important. I was thinking about this last night that we should do a podcast on this alone. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you think of the word blowjob, it sounds
like work.
It sounds like work, yeah. When you think of the word job, period, it sounds like work.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like tasks, like, you know, I've got to get X, Y, and Z done, and ta-da.
Who the hell coined that phrase?
Like, I don't know.
Where the hell did Adam, did
and you don't really blow, you suck.
So well, that's, really yeah, exactly. It. That's right.
So anyway, you should look that up while I'm...
all right, you keep talking. I'll look up the etymology of blowjobs.
Okay. So to me, cock worship is more about the whole mentality around the amazing power exchange that happens when somebody has the male reproductive organs right there and the power exchange that happens. Think about how powerful a man feels when he has his penis in your mouth. And then think about how powerful it is for you with a guy's cock in your mouth and how much power you have. Like, you could bite it off if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
How much trust he has to have to allow his wonderful male appendage to be in your orifice, right?
Right. That is a lot of
there's a lot power of trust
and responsibility that happens. And trust. Exactly.
It's a little different than when a man goes down on a woman, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I think so.
I think so too.
I mean, I think there is similarities in the sort of the honor potentially that can right. be seen in allowing that person there. But I do, yeah, you are putting their most precious member
yeah.
into your mouth. And
right.
there's a lot of power in that.
A lot of men, actually, their entire identity is wrapped around that cock. A lot of men really, really lead life with their penis. So to be able to get on your knees or put your face there and just spend time worshiping them in that way is hugely intimate, hugely sensual. All of their sense that, okay, so for women, we have our clit and we have, you know, A spots, G spots, all kinds of stuff inside. For the man, they have their little man clit, which is at the top of the glands, at the back of the glands, and then they have their taint, which is between their ass and the base of their ball sack. That holds an enormous amount of nerve endings. And then they have the seam of their testicles, which is also full of nerve endings. That's that line that kind of goes up. If you were to picture a man being turned into a woman, that's where the labia lips would be.
Mm-hmm.
So think about how much blood flow and stuff goes through our labia lips and our mound and stuff like that. We have the same, as women, we have the same amount of erectile tissue that a man does. It's just all on the inside of our body.
Right. And okay. I know it is said that the clitoris actually has more nerve endings than the
yes.
penis.
Yes, yeah. It does. The clitoris has, I'm just going to go at it. I think it's 8,000 nerve endings, and the head of the penis has 3,000, if I'm remembering those numbers correctly. But then there's like 6,000 that is down around the taint and the base of the scrotum.
Mm-hmm.
So theirs is just kind of split up because it's like the A spot and the G spot. You know, we've got multiple spots inside of us. They've got multiple spots on the outside of them.
Right.
So we want to pay attention to all of those things. So when you're worshiping a man's cock, it's not necessarily just his cock. It's licking the balls. It's licking the taint. It's really getting your face in there and just like smearing it all over the place and just making it super duper about that you just can't get enough of this part of their body. Picture what a man does when he goes down on a woman and how superficial we often are as women that we don't want to get icky. You know, we just want to put our mouth on the top of the penis. That's not it. It's about getting all in. You know, you get your face all mussed up. It doesn't fucking matter. You know, it's like you want to show your man you're into them. You dive your nose in there at the base of the cock and you just kind of motorboat their testicles like they would do your tits. You know, there's all kinds of different stuff you can do to really blow a man's mind when you give them cock worship versus a blowjob. It's a mentality.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So that's what I
just wanted
to.
I just wanted to throw the difference out, or what the difference is, or what that means, because I think it gets said, and it's kind of like, okay, what does this actually mean? Right.
Right. Right. So what I started to say was that I really like to suck cock. It's just something, I don't know. I'm a super oral person. I always have something in my mouth. So why not? Right. So I've tasted a lot of semen because I swallow. I think it's yucky to hold it in your mouth and then run to the bathroom and spit it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, that just is like, ew, gross. That's disgusting. You know, where I expect a man to suck on me, he's not taking in a mouthful of stuff and then spitting it on the sheets or whatever, you know,
right.
It's not kind of accepting that our body fluids are our body fluids and things come with sexual exchange and it is what it is.
Right. And it is an interesting thing. If you think of a guy going down on you, he's basically got a face full of cum, right?
Yeah,
from doing
right.
that. And so it's the
and if you squirt on them.
Point. Right.
If you squirt or you ejaculate, you know, some women actually do have a cum, like a creamy white ejaculate that comes. A man is kind of expected to eat that up, you know, and not do any kind of crazy spit it out in a cup kind of thing. It's kind of silly to me. So anyway, so when you taste multiple people's semen, you understand that every single man has a different taste. And this is very similar to what I was saying about women. Every person is different. Every man is different as well. They have their own pH. They have their own things that are affecting their taste, their production, their entire system. I'll tell you, there was one guy that I particularly remember where I was pleasantly surprised when I swallowed his cum that he tasted like a cinnamon roll.
Ooh.
And wow. I was like, oh my God, you taste like cinnamon. Like I just had drippy icing off of a Cinnabon.
Wow.
And I was like, what the hell is this? I could do this all day long. You know, I love sweet things. So, and I talked to him about it and he does like a nutrition drink that has cinnamon and he eats nuts every morning.
Well, dude, this guy needs to be selling the secret. Let's get him on. Let's talk about this.
So that kind of made me curious about what it is that makes semen taste different. Like I said, I thought that eating pineapple made my luscious labia liquids taste sweet and nectary, because that's kind of the word that always comes, like a nectar. And I'm like, okay, well, let's see. The common claims, of course, are that eating fruits like pineapple, papaya, oranges makes semen taste sweeter, but it has less to do with the sugar than the fruit itself and how the enzymes break down. Now, this is different in men than it is in women, because men metabolize different proteins differently than women.
Okay.
So men eating more pineapple and more fruit and stuff do actually change the taste of their semen. There's also a number of vegetables like celery, parsley, cinnamon, and nutmeg that also enter a man's semen for the better.
Interesting.
It's not a drastic change like you'd find like from eating a candy bar or something, but it's definitely something that you can, it doesn't leave that nasty aftertaste. You get a little bit more of a lightly salty or sweet kind of taste, like you just had like a little of the air that puffs out of a Kool-Aid packet. So can we break for a second?
Absolutely.
Oh boy. He just brought me a glass of wine and a box of my favorite candy. Thank you. As a distraction, I was in the middle of a thought. Now I got to get back into my brain.
Okay. That's the tricky part.
Candy and wine. He's got me. A what? A Rafferty's Pizza too? Oh boy, we're going to have to take a lunch break here.
Rafferty's Pizza? Yeah. Is that like a place in your town?
It's a place. They have a little chain in this area here, and Rafferty's is, they have really, really good pizza.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
All right. So let me
penises
get back
in. And food and nutmeg and I'll just
packet.
Say this.
I was saying the Kool-Aid packet. Okay, go ahead.
The Kool-Aid
packet.
Yes. I was talking to a friend who said, you know, he has this theory that people are either they like giving blowjobs or they don't. Like either women in particular, they're either down with it or not. And I don't know if I agree with that, because I'm thinking it depends. It depends on the penis haver, quite frankly, as to.
No, I think it's true. I think some.
I do think there
get over the idea of it.
I do think there is truth to that. You either
and
like it
same,
or you don't.
It's the same with men.
Right.
There's a lot of men who just won't do it.
Right. Right.
And I don't want to make it a race thing, but I know there's specific ethnicities that are against it. That
right. Okay.
They're taught that it's not culturally correct.
Right.
So, you know, again, that can be learned stuff too. So,
right. And somebody said if they had a superpower, it would be to make their semen taste like the frosting on a Cinnabon. And I thought,
yeah, well, there you go.
That would be pretty damn good. So when you said that, that's what brought that to mind. I'm like, yeah, that would be a pretty good supervisor. You know,
I wish I could remember that guy's name. I don't even remember.
Oh, that's so funny. Yes. We need his diet plan and to share it with many.
If he's listening, thank you. I'm giving you a shout out right now.
And go to the website, sexmatterspodcast.com, and you can put it in unanimously or not, but put in your diet. Just put it in the comments in the question section, because we would love to hear from you. So that we can share it with everybody. And yeah, it's, you know, God should have thought about that one a little bit differently.
Yeah, I think so too. But there's, let me say,
acquired
on the
taste.
Other side, there's a lot of things that make semen taste bad.
Okay,
a lot of things.
Talk about that.
I think that if men are conscientious about it, if they have the choice, they could omit some of these things and have much more reciprocal oral experiences. Because a lot of women are very, very opposed to this shooting of this, like they don't have a choice. Like when it's coming, if a guy doesn't tell them that they're going to come and they get shot in the mouth with it, it's almost like non-consensual. You understand what mm-hmm. I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. like a violation of their mouth. Mm-hmm. So if it didn't taste so bad, it wouldn't be such a big deal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, greens for a man, we need to eat green vegetables. Absolutely. But there are a lot of green vegetables that make semen very bitter. And it is vegetables like cabbage, broccoli, kale, bok choy, Brussels sprouts. Brussels sprouts are a big thing right now, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's got, all the bars have Brussels sprouts fried and glazed and all kinds of stuff. Well, they make your semen taste like shit. Asparagus, garlic, onion, chives, they make your semen taste bitter. And effectively, it's due to the fact that your body is breaking them down and there's sulfur compounds in them. And it's because men metabolize differently than women. You don't really think about it, but there are other substances too that are detrimental to the cum taste that are like toxins. And so it's a way of your body expelling something that's not good for you. Just like, I don't know, if you, the cigarettes, again, we'll talk about that, or alcohol, or drinking a copious amount of coffee, they can all affect the taste of semen for a man as well. So we talked about that with women as well. So that's true.
And individual results may vary too. The health and wellness chick in me says, oh my God, don't give every guy an excuse to go, well, I don't have to eat my vegetables because it's going to make my, because it, having a
depression diet, is like, what can they eat?
right. And having a shitty diet also makes your semen not taste good. Not to mention your other bodily fluids, which are also part of, you know, sweat is something that we women have to, or the, not women, the people who are, anybody experiencing your penis has to deal with your sweat, which is fine. And I don't mean to use deal in a negative sense,
but it
is the reality of what's down there. It's part of the package. So it's
funny though, with women, it's more about the sweat. With men, it's more about the diet.
And hygiene.
We're going to get to hygiene for sure. But men who eat a lot of processed foods, including mm-hmm. junk food and fast food that has a lot of preservatives in it, mm-hmm. give their semen a bitter taste.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So, and also, this is just a side note, for people that get a lot of cysts and stuff on their body or have a lot of problems with blackheads and things, mm-hmm. this is where a lot of that comes from, this processed foods and junk foods that has a lot of high fat in it. It just can't, your body cannot handle it. It has to come out somewhere. So it's coming out in your semen or it's coming out in your pores somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is, for men, a lot of it is that you are what you eat. It really does affect your semen taste. And it's really the guys that are on the spot for the taste of their semen. Seriously, their diet really does affect their semen.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, there's some genes that affect our taste receptors and make us experience things differently.
Right.
That's on the receiving end, though. Mm-hmm. So again, like women that are during our ovulation stage of menstruation, we experience heightened sensitivities to sweets. So we may perceive the taste of semen as sweeter during the period of ovulation. So, I mean, a lot of this has some good and bad, it goes back and forth, right? The one thing that is really, really, it's like out of men's control a lot of times is the really complex interplay between the things that are going on with their metabolism and the things that are going on with them with their medical conditions and what kind of pharmacology they're taking.
Okay.
Okay. So there is so much medication that alters ejaculate flavor that the less medication you're on, the better. And for a lot of women, to spit means you're a quitter. So, but if your man is on a lot of medications, it might be best to spit. Because you can, some of that can be transferred through semen. Small trace amounts of medication that's not absorbed by the body can come through semen.
Okay.
So that's something to consider.
Yeah. How does that work? Do you know anything about that? Like with chemo drugs? Like I know I have heard that, I'm trying to remember the exact situation now. A woman that I knew whose husband was on chemo, they basically said, the doctor said that it would be better for her not to have sex, for her not to intermingle with his fluids, and in cases even not to use the same, I don't know if it goes for the same like silverware and things like that, but have you heard that?
If a doctor recommends that you do not partake in each other's bodily fluids and you're committed to each other, obviously, and you still want to be able to do these things, there are dental dams that can be worn. It's like a big plastic bag that it's sort of like in your mouth, dental dams. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can find a link of that and put a picture of what that looks like on the site. But if a woman is really opposed to the receiving the fluids, the pre-cum or the cum from a man during ejaculation, they can use a dental dam. It's like a condom for your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Or they could use a condom that doesn't have a lube and stuff like that on there too.
Well, they could. Yeah, absolutely. The man doesn't get nearly the sensation, and that's mm-hmm. usually their reason for not wanting to use a condom in the first place.
Right.
But yes, you could do that as well. And then with that case, then there's always the different flavored condoms and stuff like that. So you can avoid the taste of semen altogether and have a tropical explosion in your mouth all at once. So,
yes. And flavored lubes as well that are exactly for the purpose of if you are okay with the fluids in your mouth, the, you know, having an additional flavor,
right,
to go along with the taste of the penis and the
absolutely
pre-cum.
So the last part to talk about is hygiene for men, especially now. I'm going to say that me being the person that likes to partake in fellatio as much as I do, I prefer a hairless cock and balls because, and this may be the same for men with women, you know, a lot of women nowadays shave down there or have very little pubic hair. The hair around the cock and balls holds odor. It holds mm-hmm. sweat, it holds the muskiness, it holds urine, all that stuff. Plus it gets caught in your teeth and all that kind of stuff. You know, you're spitting it out if they're in a shed cycle. It's not the best. It's tickling your nose when you're trying, you know, you really want to be able to worship somebody's cock. You need to not have the distraction of the hair, you know, going in places that it bothers you. You have to like scratch your nose in the middle of a blowjob. It's not real sexy, you know? But that's all I'm saying is that, you know, if I want to deep throat somebody and a hair's going up my nose, I might end up sneezing.
It does make it And I don't want anybody to feel the massive pressure I don't want anybody to feel the massive pressure. I agree with you. It's nice. But I also want to be okay with people who are not comfortable shaving with that you know, and it can get
as long as they're clean.
Exactly. No. Cleanliness is godliness. Like first and exactly. And I mean, because if you shave, I mean, some men and women, they react so intensely to the shaving experience that if you have, you know, if your skin is inflamed as well, because you know, because you're sensitive to that, that sucks too, right? For everybody.
There are wonderful shaving products out there by Pure Romance and over-the-counter Cremo has a beautiful product for pubic shaving, mango scented. I use it all the time. It keeps, I mean, I really, there are specific special shaving creams and stuff for super sensitive areas, and they're talking about your pubic region. Mm-hmm. And with guys, it can be really tricky because they have all the skin and stuff hanging. For women, it's tricky too because you have hairs that are growing inside your lips and around your asshole. You need to get all of it. Men should do the same thing, really, or go get waxed. I would laugh. I would get so much enjoyment from pulling wax strips off of a man's testicles. That's just the sadistic side of it.
Oh, God. Oh, geez. Yeah.
I would just laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. It would be so funny to me.
Oh,
my evil dominatrix side. You know? But there's no pressure to do it. I'm just saying, for me, I enjoy it because it removes a lot of the smell and the hygiene issues. Not to say that if you're driving for 3 hours to go meet up with somebody that you shouldn't still excuse yourself and use the restroom and wash thoroughly your ass to the tip of your ball. I mean, tip of your cock. I mean, everything needs
go the other direction. Start with the balls, then go to the ass. Because
of course, yes. But all of it needs to be done. All right.
And you know, it's funny because I was reading years ago. I was reading "Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus," and there's a list in there of. And I'll be honest, I don't remember if it was a chapter. In my recollection, it's a chapter written for men towards, like, for men, what they can do for women, right? Giving them some ideas. And one of them was to wash yourself before sex. And I read that and going, oh, this
Why
isn't
is
like
an
a thing. Like, right. It's just like they have to be told to do this. I mean, that's not something that it's like an absolute, but it's something to be aware of. I've been with people who don't care about their hygiene incredibly. And it's like, you think I'm going to go to, I mean, I want to be accepting of somebody however they are, but at the same time, there are times it's like, you know what? I'm sorry. This is
especially,
just not okay.
Especially men who are uncircumcised. Mm. They really need to clean, like shine the head of their cock and make sure that there's no cheesy substances there. It's a natural place for that stuff to collect, but it's really a turnoff to women.
Right. It's a natural thing.
It is natural.
But the awareness of it. And how that it's
cheesy and it has an odor and it's really just an accumulation of stuff that's building bacteria. It's in a warm, dark, wet place on your body. So therefore it is growing bacteria.
Right.
And the bacteria is not sexy.
And to have that surprise, it's sometimes hard.
Well, sometimes it's a surprise to find that they're uncircumcised. And
right. First surprise.
Like, oh.
Hello
there. Come on out. Time to come and say hi.
Well, you know? And it's hard sometimes not to react if something hits you. I tend to be somebody who responds intensely to smells. Like, and it's like, it's not even that I'm trying. It's like my body goes into reaction mode, right? And it's like, whoa. And it's not to be mean. But it's not just that region. I've been with other situations where it's like, whoa, you know, and it's like my body just responds. But having that awareness of that in cleanliness, and you mentioned dark and damp places. And I think about that when it comes to people with diabetes.
Uh-huh.
Your blood is sweeter, which then comes out in your sweat, which then comes out in anywhere that you sweat. So your crotch is one of those places. So another thing to be aware of.
Yeah. So let's see. I think we covered that pretty well. I think that was really helpful. I hope that if men have any other comments or women have any other observations that they can share constructively.
We
like this to be a positive place to talk about sexuality. So if you have anything you'd like to add or to inform people who are listening to this about in our comments section, please do that.
Yeah. And if you have any products, like if you are somebody, there are some people who are just, they're super sensitive to the chemicals in soaps and whatever. If you have something that works for you, feel free to post it. A brand.
We should get some sponsors. We need to find some companies that will sponsor, put a sponsor flag or banner on our site, and then we can promote the hell out of them if we believe in the product.
Right, exactly. I will try. I'll try.
I know, like Pure Romance has Coochie Cream.
Oh, yeah.
And I've heard so many people just absolutely swear by Coochie Cream.
Yes.
I used it at one time. I found it was good. But now I use Cremo. And the Cremo is hard to find in the mango scented because so many women are using it, I think.
Interesting.
You can find it in the men's section at Walmart. They have a couple different scents, but they're male scents. And the women's Cremo is away from all the other Cremo products in the female section. And it's usually sold out.
Okay. And so I assume that because it's designed for quote unquote private areas, that it's probably less chemical or it's specific chemicals.
Specifically silky.
That are not messing with your pH balance.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's good stuff. I use it all the time. I use it all over my body.
Sometime we should do a whole conversation about the shaving piece. Just because I
want a vulva puppet.
Oh,
I really want a vulva puppet. I've been looking on Etsy. I've been looking on eBay. I've been looking everywhere. Our friend who wrote about Kunyaza, Habib.
Yeah.
He's doing some stuff over in the UK and he has himself a beautiful vulva puppet. And I just asked him, how do I get one of those? You know,
that's nice.
I'm hoping maybe someday when he does our podcast with us, maybe he'll bring me a vulva puppet. That would be great.
God, for shaving,
showing the shaving stuff for women, you know.
Well, and I was just having a conversation with some ladies about this, about how we're not taught to, we were discussing our legs being shaven and like just the whole, you know, it's winter, screw it kind of thing. If nobody cares, whatever. Sometimes
I shave every day.
Well, and some people do. And some people have gotten away because their hair is very light. And so they haven't shaved because once, I don't know if it's an old wives' tale or not of the whole, if you start to shave, it gets darker and thicker. But I have known some people who have never shaved their legs and they you wouldn't know it. Right. So I am assuming it kind of depends on how it grows in
for
and
each
how it
individual
is.
Person.
Right.
Because I shave all the time. I rarely need to shave. Like my hair
really?
Pretty much stopped growing.
Oh my gosh. Okay. That might be a hormonal change because that is not true for everybody.
Yeah. I know. That's why I said for each.
So lucky you. Right. Yeah. Right. But it's the interesting thing of, we were talking a little bit about shaving accidents. When one starts to learn to shave, when nobody teaches you, you just know that you're supposed to, and then you cut yourself, and then who do you go to for help? You know, I mean, I remember the first time I shaved my legs and I cut myself a little bit, and I'm not one who loves dealing with cuts and blood and whatever. And I
and
was
it just
so,
bled and bled and bled.
I was so embarrassed and so scared because I thought I was going to get in trouble. That was how things worked in my house. If you did something, you got in trouble. And I did. But when, you know, if you're going to shave your legs, and I don't, you know, I'm kind of one of those people that I'm like, I don't have a problem if people don't. I wish we were a little bit less crabby about that in our culture, because I think it's one of those things where I have not gone to the gym because I didn't shave my legs or gone swimming. And it's kind of like, I'm kind of like, God, can we just be a little bit less crabby about that and judgmental about other people and let, because, you know, I understand.
See, I see it the totally opposite way.
Okay.
I shave my legs every day because in case I'm going to have some sort of romantic tryst, I want to make sure that I am soft and supple and
I totally get that
to the touch for my partner or any partner all the time.
I totally get that too. And that's totally fine. And I know some guys truly don't care.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I don't know. It's one of those
that's
things.
Interesting.
It's
preference.
A preference. And right. And I, you know, and I get the women who say, screw it, I'm not shaving. It's what's grown out of my body. It's a natural thing. Rock on, let it be. And I totally am fine with that. I think I love that Jonathan from Queer Eye has pictures of himself in a skirt with unshaven legs, you know, and I prefer the look of shaved legs. I just don't fault anybody for not. And I, like I said, I wish we could be, I remember as a kid hearing somebody a few years older than I just cut a woman down because mm-hmm. she dared to wear tights and hadn't shaved her legs. And that was one of my first experiences of the, oh my God, I better figure this out, because I mean, it was vilification language of this woman. Wow. And I'm like, oh my God, because she didn't shave her legs, she's a horrible human being. Like, I'm, you know what I mean? You're trying to learn how to be acceptable in the culture. And as a teenager, it was like, oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. So
note to self, figure out how to do that.
Well, and I know that Bush is coming back, and I have teetered with the idea of letting mine grow back in, but I swear that if I grow in my Bush, it'll be the only gray hair on my body.
Oh, no.
I don't have any gray hair. I don't have any gray hairs on my head.
Oh.
But at almost 50, I can tell if I go a couple of days and not shave my pubes, mm-hmm. that I've got some grays down there, and I will not succumb to that.
Well, you know, gray is becoming a thing.
I know.
Article about how women, not only are they letting their hair go gray, but they're, and I, oh my gosh, one of my friend's kids, she, a teenager, dyed her hair gray. She looked stunning.
Yeah. It's like a platinum blonde. It's almost,
my God. And I try every way to cover mine up, because I'm just not ready for it. But I look at the women who can rock it. And, you know, I have a friend of mine who she's in her late 40s, and she's had gray hair forever. And she has the personality that her college friends didn't necessarily even know that she was much older. They just like, whatever. So you got gray hair, you know?
Yeah.
And the confidence that she rocks it is awesome, because it's not like you notice her gray hair. And I don't necessarily look at other women and judge them for their gray hair. But boy, do I judge myself some fingers. Mm.
You're perfect, Judy. You are perfect. You your hair and your pussy and everything else to do with you. You are perfect, Judy.
Well, thank you.
So, anyway.
I will try to take all of that in. All right. So,
sex matters, period. That's
sex
it.
Sex matters, period. Woohoo!
Thanks so much for your downloads and listening and hanging out with us today. You can find Patricia at patriciaengelking.com and see what she's got going on. You can find my weekly wellness podcast at wellnessrenpodcast.com, or look up the Wellness Renaissance podcast. A little plug for this last week's episode, episode 123. I had a conversation with Dave Warnock from Dying Out Loud. If you have any interest in living your life to the fullest, end of life stuff, or ALS, check it out. Come visit us at sexmatterspodcast.com, where you can hop on our email list. You can ask us questions anonymously or not, your choice. Join up on Patreon and support us there to keep this ship running smoothly. We do love to hear from you, and we love your questions. So send them on over. And of course, you can find all of us on Facebook as well. Have a beautiful week. Take good care. And maybe now you have a new diet plan for the weekend. Bye.